Hello, good morning. Welcome to the Devotional Cast, February 13th, 2018. And today we have a special guest, Pastor Dwayne Carson. He used to be my campus pastor at Liberty University. I went to Liberty from 2003 to 2007. He was a campus pastor. He would speak, I think, every Sunday night, I believe. And he's been there for years. I think he went to Liberty since the 80s. But we had Dwayne Carson on the line. Hey, Dwayne, how are you?
Great. How are you doing today?
Pretty good. Pretty good. Did I get your bio correct?
Yes. I came to Liberty in 1984. And boy, that sounds like a long time ago, and it was. And things have really changed there. What a place now! All the growth—it's incredible. Yeah, I came in '84. Was a campus pastor from '88 on, one of the campus pastors, and had the joy of working with lots of students like you.
Yes, yes, you were actually one of my favorites. It was you. It was Johnny Moore. It was Rob Jackson, were the big three.
Yep.
And then you recently moved to a church in Ohio called Epic
Life
Hive Church. Yeah.
Yeah, Epic Life. Every person in Christ, Epic, has life here and hereafter.
Amen.
You got to believe I would go with some kind of acrostic, Epic, every person in Christ.
Amen. So, Dwayne,
every person in Christ. Well, tomorrow is Valentine's Day, and all of our attention begins to go in the direction of love. And you know, love is one of those areas where it really gets confusing because when someone says they love you, it may not be a love that is a giving love. It's more of a taking love. Their love is because of something they want rather than something that they want to give to another person. You see a commercial a lot of times. I see it on Fox where there's a little boy for St. Jude's and says, "What is love?" And we find ourselves, you know, what is love? And the Bible has much to say about this. One of the great characteristics of God is, without question, God is love. But in the world, there's also this thing called love, and the love that's in the world has a Greek word, eros, which gives us an English word, erotic. That's a selfish love, self-taking love, self-fulfilling love. The Bible speaks about agape love. Agape love is self-sacrificing, and it's seen with the life of Jesus. He was giving of himself, and he gave himself to the length of he died on a cross. And the Bible says, "Greater love has no man than he lay down his life for his friends." And when we look at love, love is not going to be something that is selfish. It is going to be something that is sacrificing. Love is spelled G-I-V-E, give. Love is giving. It's going to be giving of oneself. It's looking out for the interest of the other person. You know, the Bible doesn't leave us wondering how to really describe love. The Apostle Paul gives us this great chapter in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter. And this chapter has followed 12 chapters where I've often wondered how exhausting it must have been for the Apostle Paul to write those 12 chapters. I find myself exhausted just reading those 12 chapters. You're reading about a church that is highly dysfunctional. They are divisive. They get into arguments over who is the greatest person to follow, and then they're going to follow that person when it's all about following Christ. But yet some said, "I'm going to follow Apollos. I'm going to follow Paul." they were divided over who they wanted to follow. Then there was all kind of gross sin that was going on in the church that was not being dealt with. And then he has to deal with them on their arrogance. The Corinth church was just filled with people who thought they had all kind of wisdom and knowledge. Then to get tied up in spiritual gifts, that which God has given to them, they begin to proclaim them as so good and great, and I'm better than you. I think Paul was just exasperated, exhausted as he's writing this letter. And he gets to the end of chapter 12, and he says, I want to show you guys a more excellent way, a more excellent way. And I kind of picture this. He lays down his pen for a moment. He drops his head in prayer. And then the Holy Spirit says, all right, Paul, write these words. And he writes, though I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Paul opens up with the value of love, or how bad things are when you try to accomplish life without love. He flat out says, you're not going to accomplish anything. He uses the word nothing. Apart from Jesus, we can do nothing, and without love, we have accomplished nothing. Love is an essential to everything we do. You can't do ministry without love. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. Love is an essential. And now Paul says, let me tell you what love does. He's not going to tell us what love is. This is not going in a dictionary. He's going to give us actions. And he says, love suffers long or is patient, and it is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It is not puffed up. It does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked. It thinks no evil. It does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. And then he tells the victory of love. Love never fails. If we looked at these word by word, we could be here for hours. I just want to highlight real quickly, love is patient. That's when you're dealing with people. Love does not retaliate. Love is going to look for ways to reconcile with people. It's going to have a long fuse. It's not going to blow up on people who have done them wrong. And this is totally different from the world, because Aristotle had taught in the Greek world, you never tolerate an insult. You know, if someone does you wrong, the first thought is, don't get mad, get even. Well, we're not supposed to get even. We're supposed to show love and work to reconcile the relationship, not dissolve the relationship. Love is kind. That's an active goodwill. It does deeds. You can't feel love. You feel kindness. You have to do kindness. And then Paul switches gears and he says, I want to tell you some things love does not do. And love's not going to get jealous of other people. It rejoices in the success of other people. Jealousy can be so dangerous. It can cause us to become greedy and want what other people have to the point where we get ourselves in financial trouble. It also can cause us to become hateful toward people. We see what they have, and we want to destroy them. If we can't have it, they can't have it. And then love does not parade itself. It's not full of themselves boasting. Hey, could I just tell you how great I am? Love doesn't do that. Love is not talking all about itself. And then it's not puffed up. That's an inward feeling. The boasting is outward verbal, just talking about yourself all the time, telling all about yourself. Well, now there's an inward feeling. I walk in the room, and I want you to know I'm superior to you. I'm over you. I'm better than you. A Christian doesn't think that way. A Christian's not looking to make themselves look better and be bigger. A Christian's looking for a way how to serve others. Love does not behave rudely. My goodness, how many people have been offended by Christians because of how rude they are? Love is, again, back to being patient. It's not going to blow up on the cashier because they gave you they didn't get your food right, or they didn't get you the right change. A person doesn't blow up on them because they're too slow with getting your order done. Rudeness is never part of a Christian life, and then it doesn't seek its own. My goodness, if we could just cure selfishness. I've said before, there's three killers of a marriage. Selfishness, selfishness, selfishness. Those selfishness is just going to destroy any relationship. You can't be thinking only about yourself. The world is not made up of just you. Matter of fact, it's made up of others. And you are one small part of 7 billion plus people. And except for you, the entire world is made up of others. Selfishness cannot be part of our lives. And then it's not provoked. Love has thick skin. It's not going to pick a fight. It's not going to get into fights quickly. It thinks no evil. It's not going about trying to find fault in people. We look for the good in people. We look to bring out the best in people. It does not rejoice in iniquity. One of the things that breaks the heart of love is sin. Anytime there's sin involved, love's heart is broken. And then love rejoices in the truth. He goes back to the positive. Love, my goodness, it says when truth is in place, truth sets people free. When people are following what God's word has to say, they're moving to new levels. Sin is going to bind us. Truth sets us free. Love then bears all things. It's going to come up under a person, and it's going to help them through difficult times. The picture really is that of an umbrella, where it's a pouring down rain and you invite the person to come under your shelter. You're going to say, listen, we can get through this. And then love believes all things. It's not a naive belief here, but it has a belief. If you'll do the things that God teaches, life is going to change. God's word brings about transformation. It hopes all things. It has this belief that as you do what God says, he's going to do miraculous things in your life. There's a hope like the prodigal son's father who's looking down the road. I hope, I just know he's going to come to his senses and come home. And then love endures all things. Now, this is the climax of love. There's nothing else to say. Love's just never going to give up. It's never going to turn loose. It's going to stay there and hold fast, just like a military would be holding a vital position. It's just never going to stop fighting for a person. You know, when you think about loving people, it's real easy to love people when they're lovable. But the reason we need this teaching is because most time we find people doing things that are not lovable. And one of my statements on love is this: the time a person's going to need love the most is when they deserve it the least. And, you know, that's what Christ did for us. When did Christ love us? Christ loved us when we deserved it the least. But God demonstrated his love toward us, Romans 5:8, and that while we were yet sinners, we were at our worst, he dies for us. Christ was at his best when we were at our worst. And the reason he does that is because of his great love. His love endured. His love never fails because he reached out for us, doing what we could never do for ourselves. And today, as you think about love headed into Valentine's, you and I have a great description in 1 Corinthians 13 of how we're supposed to love one another. And you know, folks, bottom line here is we teach on love and ask you to think about love. Remember what Jesus said about love. People will know that we are his disciples if we have love one for another. So the teaching of Paul in 1 Corinthians 13 ought to be activities, actions that we are taking day by day with other people. Hey, I want to thank you for this opportunity to share on this great subject of love, and hope you have a great and wonderful Valentine's Day. What do you think, sir?
Appreciate it very much, Dwayne. And you're right. I think you know how Paul explained it about love. And my favorite part of the verse is it keeps no record of wrongs. Love it.
Yes.
I mean, you know,
that's a huge one.
Yeah.
Because we are geared to do that. We are geared to hold a grudge. We're geared to remember faults of people, and forgiveness doesn't do that.
I agree. And, you know, I mean, I have a few friends that I've, you know, have done harm for me, and I forgive them. I mean, like they say, man, why do you keep talking to me? I'm so rude. But I mean, I'm just commanded to love you and forgive you. And I pray that, you know, that you find Jesus, you know, and it becomes like a testimony, you know, it becomes a tool to lead that person to Christ.
Absolutely. Now, how we respond to mistreatment is one of the greatest testimonies we have of what it means to be a Christian.
Amen. Well, Dwayne, I really appreciate this devotional. Can you say a quick prayer to the audience?
Love to. Father, we pause and just want to thank you for this day and for this opportunity to consider your word and to consider your love. When we think about what you did in sending your son from heaven's glory to come to this earth, this dirty, filthy, horrible place filled with human beings that are filled with sin. You sent your son here, and then he lived and he died. He died a cruel death because of his great love for us. Help us to, as Paul said, comprehend that love. May we comprehend how much we are truly loved by you, and may we then respond with love back to you. May we be singing this very day, "We love you, Lord." Thank you for our salvation. Thank you for your goodness and your grace. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.
Dwayne, thank you very much. How can people reach you?
Well, I'm on Facebook. Pastor Dwayne Carson is the best one. Also, there is a Dwayne Carson one, but that's already got about 5,000 people on it. But Pastor Dwayne Carson on Facebook. We've created a company called the Dwayne Carson Company, where we are now providing podcasts, we're providing mentoring, teaching. I do a thing every Friday called Friday at the Farm, and just trying to be a help to any Christian out there, maybe a little bit toward trying to help Liberty students, especially because my heart has always been there, and I love hearing what Liberty students are doing, but it's for anyone who may want to get more help. I call it whetstone to sharpen a knife, to sharpen the vessel to be the very best that can be for the Lord. So Facebook is the best place, Pastor Dwayne Carson.
That sounds great.
I'd love
great.
To hear from people.
Pastor Dwayne Carson,
thank you.
Thank you for coming on.
Yes, sir. I hope you have a great day.
Appreciate it. God bless.